This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Warning: this episode contains foul language and a strong, ever-growing distrust of the United States government.
You're listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. On this podcast, we sit down with one of our friends each week and chat about something weird. My name is Ashley, and joining me, as always, this week is my co-host Lauren and our very good friend Tyler, who you have heard from many times. He was in episode 3, Journey to the Bermuda Tyler, episode 17, our first installment of our ongoing cult series, and of course last week in the first part of our second installment of our cult series. In this cult series, we are going to be taking a look deep inside cults and cult mentality. In the first installment, we talked about what makes a cult, who joins, who leads, and how is it different from a religion. This time we're talking about brainwashing, different methods used to turn people against everything and everyone they've ever known, all for the goals of a single person or group of people looking for control. Last week, Tyler told us all about the new cult in town, Nexium. You have heard of it either from listening to last week's episode or from the recent arrest of Allison Mack from Smallville and Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. This week, Lauren is going to tell you about the most mind-boggling cult, I can't even, and I'm going to be sharing the different ways that politicians and political leaders use propaganda and brainwashing techniques, yes, the same techniques you see in actual cults, to get what they want out of their supporters, and I will be using examples from our current Republican president and the GOP. And while we do our best to successfully remain subjective during our chat, if you are sensitive to the current climate of our government, or if you're uninterested in hearing a political conversation, feel free to tune in next week when we will be chatting about artificial intelligence, digitized consciousness, cybernetics, and the future of sentient technology. And boy, oh boy. All right, enough from me. Let's jump back in, wrapping up our Nexium chat and move into learning about some shady ass shit called the Organization. Have fun. Okay, so moving on.
Yes.
You've got an interesting cult.
I do. It's definitely not as crazy as Tyler's, especially because all this news is just breaking. Holy
yeah,
balls.
We're gonna learn so much more about this cult
as the
news comes out.
It's gonna get wild.
Because I remember the day. I mean, this was like a month or so ago. I remember the day it broke.
Yeah,
like, I thought you were gonna be like, never, it was a Monday, not
it
like
was a Monday,
not
raining unlike
a little
this
bit.
One.
Yeah. it was a slight breeze.
Slight breeze
in the air.
Smelled like autumn.
What, really? Right now it smelled
spring.
Like autumn?
It's very strange because it's almost summer, but yeah.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I found a cult that I'd never heard of before called The O, which stands for The Organization.
This sounds like a fake thing for like a movie.
Like The
like
Circle.
Like a Marvel. It would be like a Marvel.
No, it sounds like The Circle, that Emma
totally
Watson
does.
One.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Go on.
Forgot about that. It is real. It was originally called the CO, the Cooperative Organization, and then towards the 90s it changed to the O, just
oh,
for
C as in like the letter. Yes. Not like the, because I was thinking Sea Org for Scientology.
Oh, yeah. No. Crazy. It was like the letter C and the letter O, cooperative organization. And then it changed to just the O later on. So the reason that was their original name was because this group formed out of the co-op movement in the 70s that was happening in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. The CO formed because there were some volunteers serving at local food co-ops that got together and started discussing other options to fight capitalism and racism, basically like stick it to the man. And so they were coming, this little volunteer group was coming to all the hippies, as they called them. They said, we approached the hippies working at the food co-ops and said, we don't think you guys are running these right. You should be having like really cheap canned foods and processed sugars in here because it's affordable and it'll make it more accessible to the people that shop here. And all the hippies are like, no, we want like fresh, organic.
Can you
good
tell me
food.
When what's like timeline? Like this was like what, like 2000?
This was in the 70s.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. Like, this is when everyone was like anti-war, anti-establishment, like
great, okay,
like true hippies like coming out. Yeah. And so then this
well,
new
it just
little...
sounds like there's a lot of like because like the SLS, you know, or the Patty Hearst. You know, like that was yes. the same, similar, like those people wanted to, the Symphony so the Liberation
I know, I
Army.
Almost wanted to talk about Patty Hearst on this podcast today, but we kind of talked about her already that yeah, other episode, did. But I was like, gosh, that story is wild.
I'm sorry, yeah, sorry to interrupt, but just like that was like, that's all what they were saying too, like,
yeah,
you know, fight the totally. Man, Symphony, wait, yeah. Symphony Liberation Army? It was like a yeah. made up word actually
they
this time.
Were... Whatever you just
it
said
was the
insane.
Siamese
yeah.
cat army?
It was the Siamese cat revolution.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that
really
one.
Took over the country.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were already people running these food co-ops and they wanted to have organic good food for everyone to be able to access it. And then this new little volunteer group was coming in saying, hey, we like what you're doing, but we want to change a few things. You're not as accessible as you think you are. And then they started to get really aggressive with these people and like the board, the co-op board, they came to them and said, we should be running this board. They like tried to take over all of the leadership and eventually they were kicked out of the co-op community. And because like this
they
tiny group of people,
difficult.
They were just like too difficult, too aggressive. And they said like, you're not helping our cause at all. You guys need to go. So then this small little core group of people who kind of had these same little more aggressive ideals stayed together and kept meeting in a more secretive manner and called themselves the cooperative organization or the CO. And so their leader was Theo Smith. And what's crazy is we like don't know a ton about Theo Smith. There are a couple bad things that I'll get to a little later that came out later, but as far as how he was as a leader, Tyler, what?
I'm so sorry. I completely forgot a really juicy detail when you said the leader thing and the crazy. Like I just really sorry.
No, say it, please.
Keith Raniere.
Yeah.
He believed that it was okay for a daughter to have sex with her father.
What?
So there was incestual beliefs within his practices as well.
No.
Like not there's no like founding that it actually happened, but he does have two counts of like underage girls like doing stuff.
Ew, he gets truly worse
and
worse.
That was like I'm so sorry that I forgot about that. It was super juicy. Remember when I said I had a prominent thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's why my leg just shot up in the air so far.
I didn't know you were that flexible.
I just like
either.
It like it came to me. I'm so sorry.
I was like he either just had a seizure.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be like I used to know Theo Smith. Yeah. And I was like what?
Theo, we go back. No, I just when you started talking about creepy dudes and I was like yeah, no, he's creepy too and this is what happened.
I'm glad you threw that in because that's insane.
Insane.
That's the worst. I hate it.
Insane. Okay, go back. I will not kick the air anymore.
No, it's totally fine if you do. You got to add in those little sound
bites. If you
do,
at least we know what it means now.
Right. Yes, now you know.
We're on board.
The more you know, shooting star.
So Theo Smith sucks, and we'll find out that he sucks, but there really isn't a ton on him because the people who were closest to him and on his inner circle and leaders to this day don't really come out and bash this cult because there are some people that still to this day were like, we weren't a cult. We were a political group. We were fine.
Are they disbanded now?
Yeah, they don't. No one got like arrested. There weren't like heavy crimes, but they're not
a
cult
anymore. There wasn't like a mass suicide.
Right. And that's why I was saying this one is a lot more tame, but a woman named Alexandra Stein, who was in the cult for 10 years, has come forward now and she's written a book and she's now a social psychology professor and she lectures about brainwashing and cults all over the country. And so she has written amazing articles just kind of telling her time. And I thought it was still an interesting story. But so the goal that Theo Smith and these people wanted, or what they said, they claimed that they were dedicated to equality, everyone being paid the same, There would be no race, no capitalism. They were there to be a voice for the working class, and they were going to be social and political activists fighting for what was right.
They could have been really so successful.
Right?
That's, a lot of these ones could be.
I know.
Like, there's so many great ideas.
If they just didn't go nutty.
If they had stuck to what they were actually
Anyways,
doing.
Anyways, go on.
So, Alexandra Stein comes into the picture. Now I'm kind of, like, going through her story and what she said happened. She said she was always a roamer. She was born in South Africa to very politically active parents. They even moved to London to protest the apartheid regime. And then she ended up years later in San Francisco at the age of 18. She started volunteering at a free clinic for the poor and living in a shared house. So she was into the communal living and serving others and very much, you know, was kind of getting into that hippie movement. As a political idealist, she was craving involvement with an organized movement, someone who was going to fight. So in 1980, she met a man who was involved in the O, he said. He spoke very secretively about the movement, but he said they wanted to change the world and kind of went over the basics of what they're fighting for. And she said, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is what I want. I think the guy was very charismatic and, you know, telling her, like, you will love this. This is exactly where you need to be. You're the perfect fit for this. Again,
filling
complimenting
that void
her.
That she felt she had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said she loved the fact that it was underground that made it more appealing to her, because she kind of, she wanted that kind of political activism. So this was all exactly what she was looking for at the time. And she was young.
How perfect.
So she was introduced by a mailed memo, which was the only form we find out of communication from the group's leader, Theo. They only called him the PS, though. No one ever was like, Theo. He was known as the PS, which stands for Program Secretary. And he would mail out these memos, and that's the only way people ever talked to them. Alexandra never met Theo once, even though she was
Are
in this cult
kidding?
For 10 years. And she said that was very common. Only
what
a few people
exist?
Had met him.
I don't
no,
think he does.
Right?
I well, bet he doesn't. I bet
there,
he's someone.
He does, because I'll tell you.
Oh.
But,
oh. Damn
but a lot
I got
of people,
so excited.
But a lot of people never even got to meet him.
Was
so,
like, what if it's a robot?
I know.
Yes.
I had that thought
so many different.
I was reading this. So she gets her very first memo from this leader, and he was inviting her to come to Minneapolis.
Again,
where
I'm
o
so sorry.
Was based.
What's the timeline now? Like, where? What year? Are
this
we
is in the 80s. I think okay. we're at 82. So she gets to town, and she shared a house in a very bleak part of town, like a very decrepit, rundown, not nice neighborhood. She was in a very small house with two other members, Bruce and Ted. They didn't have walls. They only had divider screens, so there was
no,
zero privacy. It's her and two guys. She has no privacy. She was never alone. It was just like these little like curtains, basically, it separated them, and they all had to share it together. She said there was no camaraderie. No one liked to hang out. There wasn't warmth that she had experienced from other political groups. Like, everyone was always such good friends because they were fighting for the same thing. And again, if we go to the term hippies, like, you think of that, like, free love and we all just want
well, also,
peace. And they were not like this.
If people are treating you badly, you know what I mean? Like, normally in a cult, they want you to be friendly,
right.
loving, and
but she
well, in any organization in a church, you know what I mean? You
community.
You join a church, it's a very you're treated very well,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
especially in the beginning. Now, I'm not saying the church is like turn on you, but they're
no.
definitely extra nice.
They are.
You
they're
do
yeah. very warm and welcoming to
just
get
the
in
same
there.
As like yeah. a car salesman. They're going to be
exactly.
very nice
yeah.
to you when you walk on their premises.
They want something from you, to be honest. That's what's interesting about this cult is they weren't treated very well at all, but they kept being told these different things, as we'll see, that still made them want to stay, even though it was like not a friendly environment. So
well, and also this is more like, it's almost like a job.
Yes.
It was
that's
almost
exactly
like,
this
is what I want my career to be. It's like a devil wears Prada.
It is.
It's
like I
want to
be in journalism.
I
don't
want to
be
what I want. So
I have to work for,
so I have
devil
to work
lady.
For this awful person.
That's exactly it, because that's another difference with the O is you didn't have to pay to be a member. You didn't have to pay for like these therapy and community group classes. You were going to like a commune to work and have a job, and you were fighting for something while working and like making this your
you
new
believed.
Life.
So you
yeah.
say while working though, like does that mean like they were getting paid to do this?
They have jobs. Yeah.
Oh, so which they have jobs. I'm so sorry.
Like,
oh my God, we're
I've
the worst.
Never heard of this before,
I know. We're
so,
so excited.
Like, so
I haven't heard of them either, and I'm an expert.
You are the expert.
I'm going to hang on to that.
Okay, so she said there was no warmth, no friendliness at all. They only ever met with five or six members at a time, even though this was like a huge community, but they would only meet with a couple people at a time. They weren't allowed to party, do anything really fun. It was pretty much stay focused on our goal and don't have chit chat, don't like get super friendly. Just stay on focus all the time.
I'd be like, bye.
I know, right?
Bye, I'm bored.
So everyone had, bye, I'm bored. The way you said that. I'd be like, bye, I'm bored.
Bye, I'm bored. I can't.
This is where things really get bizarre. Everyone had code names. Alexandra's was Claire. So she was
that's
only
not a
called
code
Claire
name.
Here. I know. Well, that's, yeah, it's not even
excuse
code.
Me,
it was just
code
like, you have a new
like,
name now.
Flower girl.
I'm going to call you chair.
No, that's a wedding position. What's
I'm going to call you chair.
Chair.
Not chair.
You're stool now.
It's like Spider-Man.
Movie where someone's name is chair?
It's the spoof on Downton Abbey. What's that show called? With Michael Ian Black?
Yes. Another period.
Another period.
They're
like,
we're
your chair
you
now.
And they do. They call
they
her
do
chair.
The whole
oh,
show.
I love
her
that.
Name is chair.
The ad for that was, I never wanted to be poor, so I was born rich.
that's the theme of the whole show. So yeah, she was called Claire from that point on, and they would cover up these things, you know, because obviously someone would probably say, why do we have to have code names? Of course, someone would question it, but they would say, we need to be secretive. People are watching us. People are spying on us. The government is trying to see us and mess up what we're doing. So we have to stay secret because
yeah,
we're being watched
how
at all
scary,
times by
though,
the
like,
government.
I think the thing that's the most alarming is the fact that your code name is a normal name.
Yeah, she's just clear.
You're assuming a new identity. You're not just getting a code name.
This is where they start to break it down, ooh, forgetting who you are. So basically every aspect of her life became governed by the O's leader and his cronies, from when she was able to sleep to when and what she could eat and who she was able to speak to in the community and outside of the community. Pretty much everyone had to be cut off. I think you could maybe talk to your parents, but mostly like friends, extended family, nobody. Wow. She joined the O, believing it would turn everyone into effective revolutionaries fighting capitalism, defending poor people's rights, but it was not at all how she imagined it would be, and she very quickly found this out, but was told to just keep struggling through it. So,
right, but so she's doing this. It's a commune of people. I mean, she's obviously in that little one with the two other
with
people.
The two
but
guys.
But there's more of them all around, basically.
Yes,
like
in other
village,
houses around the
little,
neighborhood.
Okay.
And then they, like, meet.
And they only
they
get...
do, like, little meetings with five or six people. They get
only
letters from the leader.
That's what
and
I'm saying. So they're not meeting him even at this point.
They're not meeting
he's
him
still
even at the
only
meetings. He sends, like, his little cronies, as she calls them.
Like
and,
the leader
like,
people.
To say, yeah, and they'll come in and say, like, here's your letter. Here's what we need you to do today. Like, stay on par.
Yeah.
Keep it secret, blah,
this
blah, blah.
This is so fascinating.
Okay.
So they never were able to have any visitors. Food was super basic. You couldn't smoke or drink. You couldn't hang out with your friends. It all just was joyless. It sucked the happiness out of everything.
Again, bye, I'm bored.
Bye,
I'm right, bored. Bye, I'm bored. So she had her first assessment, the first of several, with one of the senior members, and it's something that everyone goes through during their six-week recruitment phase when you first get there. She was ordered to tell her story about her family background, what her main drives were, what she was worried about, what she feared. This is all sounding familiar, like all the cults. And she was told to leave her bourgeois middle-class ways behind, stop thinking she had all the answers, and focus only on transforming herself.
That's a big one that
into what you want
earlier
us to be.
Like, yep. Yeah, the whole like making what you used
you're
to believe
wrong. Yeah.
The wrong thing.
Yep. Your yep. beliefs are completely
past
wrong.
Go bad,
on.
Future
fantastic.
Good.
She said that her biggest fear was that she could never stick with anything, work, relationships, political affiliations, all of that. And as soon as they found that out, that became their powerful tool of control for the rest of her time there. So there was a separate phone code for each of them. Three rings and a pause, and one ring meant it was for Ted. And two rings and a pause meant it was for her. What? Who?
How do you
why
know there's a pause after two rings? Because then
if
there's not another
go
ring.
On, it'll be like, oh, the two, it was me. But
how'd she answer it? Sorry. Yep.
I don't know.
I'm really hung up on this.
She says, we believed we were being watched by security forces. Many left-wing groups were being observed both in the U.S. and the U.K., but later she realized that the secrecy was just a means of control and they were not actually being watched by these groups that they claimed to be being watched by. So all the rules were laid down via memos from the PS, the program secretary, and it was understood that the instructions on these letters must be carried out exactly. These missives were regarded with awe and the orders within them were never to be questioned. The irony, as she found out, was that while looking for a socialist utopia, she had now embraced a form of fascism. So,
yeah.
Great. So it really wasn't anything she wanted. So her first assignment through her memo said, Claire, you are going to start working. You are going to start work in the bookstore, The Working Woman. It's a lefty bookshop run by the O selling Marxist literature. It was a public place, but she wasn't allowed to tell anyone that she worked there. The O had grown, had come out of these food co-ops. And so it still ran food co-ops as well as bakeries and other food places. And it also had a print shop. So they had lots of these
little
owned places that they could be in, but she wasn't allowed to talk about it to anyone. She just had to work there, hope she didn't run into anybody, blah, blah, blah.
Because there's normal people, there's normal,
yeah,
ordinary.
Yeah, because they're totally open to the public.
Right.
And they were just like, we're this political group that owns things, but like they would just still go on the co-op
they
side.
They weren't trying to bring people in.
No.
By doing this. This was just like...
No, they just... That was just right, okay. Where they wanted people to work to, like, appreciate
great.
The
I will
working
say,
world, blah, blah, blah.
It sounds or it feels like Leo Smith.
Theo.
Your old buddy Theo.
My old buddy Theo.
Wow, we go so back. Miss him. It sounds like he might have almost got this idea from the SLA because she was kidnapped in, like, 1974.
Yeah.
So, and they would send memos to, like, the newspaper and it'd say, like, you need to... do these things specifically and follow it word for word.
Right.
Interesting.
Or you're in trouble. I bet this that was totally his inspiration.
Theo,
honestly.
I knew you
knew
weren't
you
very
bad
creative.
Boy. So the O is all about promoting equality, as they said, but the true objective was becoming very clear that it was control and manipulation of its members by one power-crazed man who used to be a former black rights activist, but then turned to this weird life of just controlling people and not doing activism at all, but just running this
little
community.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like, what are
they
doing
exactly.
for people? Like, they're just, okay.
He's just, making them do things to see if they'll do it and telling them, like, we'll get
it's
to the stuff
the
later.
Good.
It's
like,
for the greater good. You're
it
learning.
Up.
Yeah, he's basically always saying you're learning. You're, what does he say? Any challenge, if you ever tried to challenge what you were told, it was met with two responses. Work harder or struggle with the practice. Which is just basically to say, like, this is part of it. This is the practice.
I bet it's also, like, weeding out who's going to not do it. I mean,
totally.
Really, essentially, he's seeing who's going to follow him and who's not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, how confusing is it if he signs it PS and then he has a postscript? Is he just signing it twice?
P.S.
Tyler's asking
like,
the real question.
The real question.
I thought you just signed it. I know. Like, how did she answer the phone after the two rings and a pause?
Right.
Who knows? Maybe it was a crazy phone. Okay. So she was working in a paid job packing in a factory as well as volunteering at the O bookshop. She was only sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night, just constantly exhausted. And she was basically kept away in this unit with the it was those three, her and the two guys, and they had to keep everything secret. They weren't allowed to develop outside friendships. Sex and relationships were closely managed because intimacy was threatening to the other members. Everything was just looked down on. So on top of her two jobs, she had to cook, shop, do the laundry, and write reports about how her transformation was going and if she was becoming a good revolutionary. There was no time to stand back and take a reality check to see how illogical it all was because she was constantly busy and not sleeping, losing her damn mind, and not eating healthy at all. She began to feel really sick and really disturbed and unable to think clearly at all. If she tried to explain to anyone how she felt, they would just say, your bourgeois identity is being broken down. This is when you're transforming to your true self. The belief that she was striving for a fair world kept her going. So she just kept getting knocked back in anytime she'd complain. After 6 weeks at the HQ, Alexandra was officially broken. She didn't even know what to believe. She developed a dual personality and said that she felt the true her was being smothered. The O kept her in her place by reminding her what she had told them during her assessment, that she couldn't commit to things. So whenever she would express a doubt, these admissions were made to to make her feel guilty and useless. So they would say, you're a middle-class woman. You act like you're superior to everybody else. You're being too much of an intellectual. Like, stop questioning this. Stop pretending you're better than us and just stick to the practice because this is going to bring you into the revolutionary you're supposed to be.
We need to see commitment because you can't commit.
Right.
Yeah, because
you
told us you can't commit and if you right. quit this, you're just...
You fail.
You're just continuing on.
You're failing
Collateral.
Yourself. Yeah. So 2 years after she had first come into the O, she received a memo telling her that she had to start a relationship with Bruce, one of the men in her house. She actually was repulsed by Bruce and actually fancied Ted.
I was going to say Ted's the hottie.
It's Ted. She like hated Bruce and actually had a little bit of a crush on Ted. So she wrote back suggesting Ted as the alternative, and it actually did get approved. So she got to start a relationship with Ted, even though it was first demanded that she be with this other guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, they tell you.
Well, it said intimacies and relationships and sex were heavily
They have
managed.
To be managed. Yeah, because intimacy
I
was
curious
scary
though if there was
the
anything.
Leaders.
I mean, there's always, it seems like sex is always revolved.
So
you
kind it's always of get, a small part.
So like,
yeah.
I just was wondering like, yeah, what her role.
Well, it's another
roles.
Form of control and way. Yeah, controlling the food you eat, when you sleep, and who you fuck.
Everything had to be controlled. So they move into another one of those tiny houses together, just the two of them, and the whole purpose of their relationship was just to have children, was basically what they were told. Like, we're not looking for you guys to be in love, just start reproducing.
This is insane.
She had difficulty conceiving, so they had to adopt two babies, a boy and a girl. Like, she was forced to adopt because she couldn't have them. And she had to train as a machinist and a computer programmer, and the children were put in a nursery so she could work constantly and not spend any time with these kids she was forced to have.
It's so interesting because remember the Moonies, they believed that their kids were the when strangers had sex and produced a child, that was like the new belief.
Perfect race.
Perfect race. Yeah,
right.
Almost. Like
true.
They were going to have like the new. So it's very similar to that, almost, that you need to spread the word to these children.
Yeah, it's funny because they're trying to keep this thing so secretive and they don't really super recruit. They don't want them to even talk to the outside world. So I wonder if having the children is just like, this is the only way we get new members kind of thing. But
I just don't, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I know, it's interesting.
Okay.
So after they'd been married for 5 years, she tried criticizing the O to Ted, her husband, but he said he just couldn't go there. He knew that people were always snitching and that methods of correction would be handed out, such as being separated from each other and from your children. So he said, we can't go there. We're being watched. I'm not going to do that. She was very unhappy with the way she was being forced to bring up her children. She was made to feel guilty if she let them enjoy playing with Ninja Turtles or anything fun because she was told they need only structured development and it can only be like lessons and blah, blah, blah. They can't have fun. They can't watch TV. They can't play video games.
So now this is like an Inception brainwash because it's like you not even, it's not like them doing it to the parents and then the parents doing it to them. It's them doing it to the parents and then they're also doing it to the kids.
Yeah, and then
the parents have
no
control almost. There's just this in between this.
Right. They're being stopped at every turn by something. So she's starting, this is when Alexandra is finally like, okay, I've been here for
Alexandra
a long time.
Alexandra or Claire?
No, Claire, excuse me. It is Claire. It is her name now. So this is when she finally is like, what? Why?
That's 5 years
excuse
of marriage.
Me?
So that's like, 7 years?
Yeah, that's 5 years of marriage. This is probably getting close to like 8 or 9 because she was there 10 total. She
was
there 10 total
years.
It was 5 years
six
of marriage.
Week, like intensive.
She was, when I was talking about the 6 weeks, that was just her recruitment phase. But then I went beyond that and said, like, this is when stuff started to get crazy. Because her assessments were basically just like, we're finding out your fears and your issues. And then they push them out there and say, here's your job. Here's your life.
You know what's interesting is it sounds like another form of brainwashing or hypnotizing that we did not discuss, and that is hazing.
Yeah,
it is a little bit of hazing.
That sounds like hazing to me. I remember friends of mine not being able to, like, they couldn't sleep when they wanted to, even though they had, like, tests. I remember, like, yeah, that's, it's definitely, it's like hazing.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking totally someone down is. To make sure that they're part of the community.
Well, sleep deprivation is a huge tool. The Moonies did that.
Just Moonies did that. I mean, Stanton did that. The family did that. Like, I mean, so many people are woken
so
up in the middle
exhausted.
Of the night disoriented and told something to, Anyways, continue.
No, I mean, those were good questions. Sorry if that was confusing. I was talking about the 6 week recruitment phase, but then I jumped ahead to, okay, she's here, she's working, she's getting married, blah, 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 because stuff just kept happening over the years. So once things start happening with her children, who she's now come to really love and care for, that's when she starts to be like, hold up. And then on top of that, after she's starting to get confused and questioning things more, she also noticed that the hired hands at the bakery where she was volunteering were being paid less than minimum wage. But how could this be when we are supposed to be committed to proper working conditions, equality, blah, blah, blah. So this angered her more than anything, because she was finally like, I've been working these stupid jobs for you guys. thinking that I had to struggle with the practice, but you're not even paying us minimum wage. Where is our equality?
So you aren't even practicing what you're preaching.
Not doing it. Yeah. Like, truly, we're not here for what we're saying. So she stops working at the bakery in protest. And then they had to hold a hearing with five other of the top members. They sort of formed a judicial board. And Ted was, as her punishment after seeing the board, Ted was forbidden from speaking to her even when they were in the home together. He had to start ignoring her as punishment for her quitting the job.
Did he?
He did.
How do they know that he
was like terrified of them?
Why did they just, okay, I mean, people say this all the time and it's a very common question. Why do you think they didn't at that time go to the police?
I don't know. I wish I had the answer.
Because
to that.
It does seem very relaxed. I mean, I know it's conditioned and I know that's what she's supposed
actually
to be
say though. I don't even know.
Very true. Because
that's
what
the
would
thing
you
is
say?
There aren't any like huge crimes here, really.
The minimum wage
really.
Thing, though, actually, she could get legally like. People
yeah, I mean, that
legally,
could have probably.
Well,
been
and also you have to think that like all of her best friends, they're basically like her family at this point.
Yeah,
are involved,
and her kids could be harmed, or
her
kids could be taken.
She was really
yeah,
worried
I do get
about
that.
She
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like at this point, you're like, let's pack them up in the middle of the night, and you know, like I, it sounds like a Sound of Music escape to me, like.
Oh, the best escape.
One with song and dance.
Yeah. But, oh, God, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No. No, I feel like, you know, sometimes there are some loose ends. I'm just curious what you thought.
Totally. I think at the end of it, it came down to she was very worried about her children. I think that's the biggest thing. But also, there wasn't any huge heinous crime. And she had sort of agreed to, you know, do these things.
So no, like sort anything, of about it. She did.
And she would be incriminated if there was anything going on either. Yeah. So it was like she had nothing she couldn't do. The only person she could go to is Ted, thinking like, please agree with me on this. And he's like, nope, I have to listen to them because I'm scared.
Mm-hmm. No Ted talks tonight.
Tyler. That was so good.
My favorite part about that was the dance you did afterwards.
It was
no
kind of a little,
ducks
little
tonight.
Go on. I want to know more.
So the rest of this, I'm going to quote from Alexandra because she worded things so well. So I'm going to read from her from the article. This is her leaving finally. She says, it was as if a light had come on in my head. I broke the O's secrecy rule by discussing doubts with a female member called Chris, and we began to realize the truth. This wasn't a movement dedicated to equality. It was a facade, and we had been taken in. I gathered the strength to leave with my children, who were 5 and 2, and took a flat in another part of town. It was incredibly hard. I had no friends. I was cut off totally. My parents thought I had settled down with a family and didn't come to my aid, so I felt abandoned.
You have no job references.
Nope. She'd been just working in this crazy place. After I left, I discovered that Theo Smith had served time in jail for killing a man in one of his cult houses the year before she joined.
He's sending letters from jail. He's sending letters from jail.
That's why I was like, guys, he's real.
He's fucking sending letters from jail.
Are you kidding me?
He served time in jail because he killed a man in his
little cult
house.
So he's in jail
when
he's doing all of this?
I believe so. I don't know if it was the whole time because at the end of the article, it says no one is sure exactly where Theo Smith is. And I was like, what? That can't be possible.
My mouth hasn't closed.
I know.
I just realized. Oh.
So after this, we're going to do some deep research and find out where he is. But also, okay, so he had murdered a man in one of those asshole cult houses the year before she joined. It distressed me to know that I had given up 10 years of my life striving for a fairer world, but had ended up serving the ego of a psychopathic killer.
Yeah, I mean, distressed really covers that.
Yeah, just distressed. Fear is the force that drives a cult, and it continues even after you leave. Every night for a year after leaving, I would wake up shaking, convinced someone was going to come and shoot us. Smith sent a message saying that Ted had to keep the children, but I knew Ted didn't want this. I threw down a challenge. If Ted kept the children, I would tell the outside world everything I knew about the O. I ended up exposing them eventually, but it was an effective bargaining tool at the time. I had a few abusive phone calls from Smith, and then nothing at all. 3 months after I left, I discovered through reading and talking to other former members that the O was indeed a cult. It operated in a way that is common to all cult groups by controlling information, isolating members from the outside world, and by using sleep deprivation or an overly busy schedule with zero privacy. The O coerced people into abandoning their own beliefs, quashing all individuality and independent thinking. Real or imagined sins were confessed so that boundaries of personal privacy were blurred. Everything simply fit. And that was how she ended it.
I want to know what his point was. You know what I mean?
Well, especially like if seems, he would...
keep going.
What's his end game?
Yeah, what is his end game?
What does he want from this? Because they're not paying him.
No. Mm-mm. He's not getting paid.
So it would make sense that he was doing all this crazy shit from jail, because what else does he have to do?
Right.
If that is the reason to start a cult.
Yeah, I truly... This one is interesting to me because I truly don't understand... why they exist.
And I would understand why years later people would be like, it wasn't a cult.
Right.
Because in a cult, you can say like, well, this is what they wanted.
Yeah. People still to this day are like, this wasn't a cult. I'm not going to even like entertain that. And they disbanded once they were like revealed to the public, because I think they were like, we're embarrassed and we can't be a thing anymore.
Did she leave?
That's a great question.
Because
had to be like 88, 89.
Yeah, like 90 maybe.
And then she just talked now?
Yeah, it took her a long time. And they were still going? It also took her a long time to realize it was a cult. She even said in the article, like, it took her time being away and talking to other members and really getting that outside view.
And probably talking to outside people who never participated.
Oh, shit, I was in a cult.
It's sort of like
when you tell someone something that you don't think is a big deal and they're like, oh, my God. And you're like, what? And they're like, Ashley. And it's like, you're right. It is wrong. Mm-hmm. I can't think of an actual
example.
No,
you're like, my name's not Ashley.
I mean?
It's Lauren.
My name's Lauren.
But she luckily
got... Your code name is...
Code name is...
Lauren.
She luckily got her life together afterwards. She said her kids are not scarred at all. She believes they were too young to like fully understand. So she said,
but what about Ted?
That they have any scarring. Ted eventually left as well, got married. He's a banker now. And she said they're like... pretty friendly, on friendly terms, like they can talk about it now and are okay. She's remarried as well. She's a professor. She's written a book.
Oh, I would be so
she's
mad
like,
at Ted.
She has a PhD. She's legit.
Yeah, but you
now.
Can't be mad at Ted. Like, Ted she be on understands my shit list. What can't. Ted was going through.
Yeah. She said Ted was very broken and they had to, you know, talk to each other afterwards, and she helped him to get a job and was like there for him. So they eventually were able to reconnect after.
That's actually incredible.
Not talking.
Yeah. That part is really incredible. And she actually got to do what she sought out to.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because of that, she was able to help other people and she was able to, Ted being one of them.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And now she's helping a lot more people by identifying it as a cult and by,
yeah.
I mean, so in the end, I'm very happy for you. Claire.
Alexandra.
Alexandra. I don't
know. I mean, now she lectures to young people mostly to say, this is when you're in your most vulnerable state. This is when you're at one of the most key places where you could be sucked into something like this. So she goes out and tells her story and talks about the psychology behind it. And she's trying to pass on the word so it doesn't happen to more people.
Well, so like
she was so young.
So coming full circle, almost making an O, if you will. like the cult, the main techniques they used were sleep deprivation. Then you think
it seems like and just overly busy schedule,
overly busy
keeping them. You keep them so busy that they don't have time to question
and
you.
Isolated,
isolated,
right,
but still with other people that you didn't have privacy from. Like you, because that was the other thing they said was yes, you were isolated, but you also were put like you had to. Form your life with these strangers that you were thrown into together with zero privacy, which that probably messes you up.
Well, that's like Scientology, where they kept you so busy that you have to rent that Airbnb and trash it.
Exactly.
Oh God, I forgot about that story.
Yeah, they keep you. That's a was it the family or the Moonies that they just like we were never not doing anything. We would get X amount of sleep a night, and we
family,
were never
wake,
not working.
In the family was what I was saying earlier is where they. Would wake you up in the middle of the night so then you wouldn't know if what you were doing was real or not because you're almost in that sleep like stance or you know, and you don't get enough sleep to where you can be aware, and so then after being deprived of it, then being woken up in the middle of it, your brain is in a new place. You know what I mean?
Look at her cute little kids. I just wanted to show you when they were little, like these sweet little innocent kids.
Is that
show me
had
that
a worse
kids.
Life, and then that's her. Yeah, their names were Rosa and Carlos. They were adopted, and then that's her and her cutie little glasses. It says that this was taken after she left the cult. I was trying to find what year. I believe it was 1990, because she said in March 1982 was 2 years after she first encountered Theo.
who the fuck is Theo Smith?
I know. So now, yeah, the last article I read was like, no one really knows where anyone is.
That could be such a made-up name, the members. Though, too. Couldn't it?
It could. Oh, that absolutely. Could be
yeah.
True.
If everyone had code names, it's very easily.
Yeah, and it's just a normal name.
That Theo Smith code was names. A code name for.
Code name, and this is your new social security, and
yeah,
right? Like
seriously,
what? I know. It's so that hard for us to believe,
though. That is a very interesting one because I cannot wrap my brain around, like, what was the end goal?
What was
Ooh,
the point?
He's definitely not in jail anymore. He only spent a year and a half in jail for manslaughter. They didn't
How?
Call it, like, actual homicide. They ended up ruling it as manslaughter.
They either did not have enough evidence to convict him of murder, but also if he, because the cult already existed, he could have had people stand up and say, like, that's not how it went down.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, they were still listening and following him yeah. through only letters.
Right. So he wasn't even writing from jail. He was just writing from probably some random house. Maybe he was on, like, house arrest and was just like,
Were they typed or handwritten?
Oh, I don't know that they said. It always just said a mailed memo. She didn't specify.
Yeah, I wonder if Theo
Alexandria!
Smith-
I know.
I wonder if Theo Smith was actually a group of people.
Could've That's been. What, if, yeah, like there was
or
multiple,
what
or
if,
three.
What
or...
if this was all a social experiment?
Well, that was actually one more point I wanted to make. One of the guys that defends this, like one of the former members, his name is Bob Malice. He said being in the O was bizarre and painful at a lot of times. However, he says it was not a cult. It was a failed social experiment which completely blew up in the lab. That's exactly what he said.
That is a that's feels like someone not person. Wanting to accept what they were a part of.
Maybe,
I mean, honestly,
but
it just feels
seriously, like think about it. So this started in the late 70s, right? Mm-hmm. So this was after after Manson. This was after
SLA, right? Because they were the ones you
after
know,
the Moonies. Yeah. This was after the around the same time as the Family. So this was kind of like cults were a big thing.
Yeah.
This is the
they were
beginning.
All
this
the rage.
Was, yeah, they were baking
so what
in that
if
oven.
This was literally an experiment to see how you could use those techniques like sleep deprivation.
See how far people would
and
go.
And see how far people would
what,
go.
Someone found
That's
the,
such a good
like,
point.
Found out about Leo or Theo Smith and was like, you know what? I'll pretend to be him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a real guy. That's the thing I
That's
keep wanting
so
to stress
though,
because
is-
he was like a Black Panther. He was an activist yeah. back in the day. But then as soon as he became a part of this group, he got this like... weird thing in his head, and then that's where no one completely understands what happened to him after that.
Yeah, well, it would make complete sense if someone else was like, you know what, this happened, I'm gonna use this as my social experiment.
Yeah,
that's just a complete theory. There's no fact.
No, I love that. I'm like so glad you said the social experiment thing, because that is one of the defenses.
Yeah, I really wonder if it was literally just a, because that shit happens.
Yeah,
they experiment on American people right. all the fucking time.
I saw V for Vendetta.
Hell yeah.
That doesn't take place in America.
No, but they're doing stuff to the people.
It's similar.
And there's
it's
a lot
the
of brainwashing
idea.
And they shave
yeah,
her head.
Same idea. I feel you.
But yeah, Theo killed a guy and he was really mean to these people in his experiment. So I don't love him. But I also like he may have just been trying to see like what was going on in the cult.
Yeah.
That Whoa. One just it does again blows my mind. What's the end game?
I know.
I believe that Theo Smith was a real guy. I don't think that he was the leader of this cult.
He might
or anymore.
No, and I don't hate that theory at all. And I mean, this cult doesn't exist anymore either. That's the other thing is they disbanded so quickly as soon as they were called out. Like, why not try to keep it going even a little longer, which also makes me think it was like, our experiment didn't really
work out. I think
that
it was a social experiment because the thing is you want to see how long you can get these people to participate in this. As soon as they start questioning, am I in a cult? You failed.
Right. You're
out. Cult's over.
That's why you can't always. But that was also the thing, though, with Allison Mack. If anyone ever mentioned it to her, like she invited a friend who was an old like roommate and really good friend over to this lavish like house, you know, I think like Malibu or something, to hold one of these meetings. And after the meeting, he pulled her aside and I said, I think you're in a cult. He said, no, I don't think you are. You are. You're in a cult. And she didn't speak to him after that day ever.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Because how dare you? This is my life that I choose. I'm choosing to live this life because I love this life.
I chair.
No one
choose
is making
to have
I
this
chair.
Life.
Choose. Okay.
I
it's my
chair.
Turn.
Go, Ashley.
Okay. So, What I chose to talk about today is actually, it's actually really great that you went off of that, because I'm going to talk about political brainwashing. Dun-da-da. And I have to do like kind of a disclaimer here. I think most of our listeners are pretty in tune with our political views as a whole. So I'm not going to preach politics or push. We don't have a political agenda, no. First of all. Like, we don't. I don't care what you believe in.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We're never trying to sway you one way or the other.
But just in case you don't know, for the record, we are anti-Trump. We are anti-alt-right, but we are not anti-Republican.
Nope.
In any way.
Absolutely
not. No. We are pro-choice. We are pro-immigration. We are pro-LGBTQA. We are allies to people of color. We are not against guns, but we are against, I would say, the legal sale of semi-automatic weapons to 18-year-olds. Would you say that that's probably accurate?
Say that's quite accurate, okay. Ma'am.
And now that that is out of the way,
we can continue.
I am going to talk about politics, and I am going to try and be as non-biased as possible, but I am using examples from a very specific group of people that I don't particularly agree with, specifically because they're a very easy example to use to explain political propaganda and brainwashing that is happening on a major scale today.
Yeah. So you're saying that you're not trying to brainwash your audience, yes, when, yes, talking about brainwashing.
She's literally not going to brainwash you right now.
And here's the thing. This political brainwashing, political propaganda, it happens in all politics.
Yeah.
Democrats, Republican, the Green Party, yeah, like everything. Fascism. It happens in all of them.
Not just our politics.
It's just
all
politics.
Over the world. Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere.
It's part of it.
But I'm talking about the current GOP, the current Republican president, simply because in the history of the United States, I don't think we've ever seen such an example of this, of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying to go out and change your views on Trump or change your views on the GOP. I'm just giving you all of the examples of what they are doing to us currently.
Yep.
In regards to brainwashing.
In regards to brainwashing. Okay. Got it. So propaganda, also known as political brainwashing, is information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. There are several techniques used, especially by corrupt leaders, Stalin, Hitler, et cetera, that are currently being used by the Trump administration. And it can be pretty scary to witness. And I'm going to go over a few of them. Okay, one, this is really interesting. And all of these are used by cults as well. But yeah. I'm just talking about them. Yes. I'm trying
just, like,
to stress.
Like, the air is about to be like, by the way, you're about to be really angry. Like, that is like the look on her face is like.
I'm trying to stress that I'm not trying to make you feel bad for falling for any of this stuff. That's the thing. I'm not trying to make you feel stupid because you are.
Oh my God, I probably bet we all have been a part.
Absolutely.
Like,
this is,
worse.
Like,
yeah.
I said, this has happened with Democrats too. I'm just.
We are not on any pedestal here. We're just stating the sky is blue and this is what's happening.
Fact.
Okay, I made myself clear enough?
Yes. You've made yourself very clear.
So what you're trying to say is you are brainwashing us all to.
That's what I've gathered.
Number one, chanting slogans. So if you've seen a Trump rally or pretty much any speech given by Donald Trump to a group of his supporters, you will have heard some chants. Actually, you almost always hear chants when you see a Trump rally.
You sure do.
Are we making America great again?
Make America great again. That's America a popular one. Again. Lock her up is a popular one referring to Hillary Clinton. And this is even today. Lock her up. Even though he's won the election, lock her up is a popular chant.
You're fired. Probably is one looking at his cabinet.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't think that they've done that cheer yet. Build that wall is another one. Even though build that wall is another chant, even when he's not talking about immigration, it's just a
they
chant.
Just
and that's
chanted.
So funny, too, because a wall, how fitting. A wall is what separates all of us. And what we need right now is to be building bridges.
Exactly. So another new one is Nobel, as in Nobel Peace Prize, which is.
What?
Hilarious.
Wait, how?
Oh, good gravy. I didn't know about that.
What do you mean? I haven't heard him
because
say
of or... the peace that's happening between North and South Korea. His supporters are saying that he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
This is wow.
No, I didn't know that at
all.
Wow.
Yes. I feel like daily it's not. They're like, oh,
first
we're friends.
Of
we're
all,
not friends. We're friends.
First
we're not friends.
Of all,
so, like,
I'm sorry, but if they're coordinating peace in Korea, in North and South Korea. It might be because of Trump, but not because he did anything. It's because they are forming.
Yes, because they're
getting
that
together
an erratic,
to realize, you know, they are realizing that he's a dangerous person, and not in a cool way, not in a like, oh, we better straighten up, in a, if we have to go over there, we're
Let's
stronger
go
together.
Together. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're uniting over a common
so
enemy.
So this is not a Nobel Peace Prize situation.
At
so
all.
Anyways.
A Nobel War Prize.
Exactly. So now something you may not know. One thing that every cult leader, drill sergeant, and politician knows is that if you want to quiet all of the actual thoughts of people in a crowd, you get them to chant a repetitive phrase or slogan. It is called thought stopping. It's a thought stopping technique, because that's exactly what they do. And it's not always a bad thing. If you think about meditation, when you use mantras or chants in a meditation, Om Shanti, Shanti, yeah. Shanti, mm-hmm. what that does is it blocks all your thoughts from entering your brain. You're mm-hmm. trying to empty your brain completely. And it's totally fine to have an empty brain yeah. when you want. It's healthy to have an empty brain.
You're trying to actually
but
meditate.
But not when you are listening to a politician talk about his policies. You do not right, want to have right. an empty brain in that moment. You want to be absorbing what they are saying.
Listen to his words.
So you can decide if that is something that you agree with or not. So
it's like dynamic meditation.
Pretty much.
It is.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
To then to make your brain empty so that it can be washed instead of retained.
Exactly. Yep. So it's good not to think for an amount of time. Block all your thought. Just be. It's not good not to think when you're listening to a political leader talk about policies. If you question the validity of this, try and complete a complex puzzle or math problem while shouting the lyrics of a song or a slogan over and over again, because you can't do it.
I would imagine no.
You can't have rational thought if you are chanting something over and over again.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Gonna go home and try it.
So at every pause in a Donald Trump speech, you get a chant of lock her up or build that wall. You are literally blocking thoughts from your mind. Thoughts like, do I agree with what he's saying about XYZ?
Right.
Also, here's another secret. These chants are usually started by people in the administration. So now it is time to question why that is. Why are they starting these chants? And you don't have to question it, because I just told you why they're starting the chants. They start the chants because they don't want you to actually have any thoughts of your own during this.
It's such a smart move on their part.
So next time you're watching,
it's just interesting because
he
comes
speech,
from a business background, and we already talked about how businesses like to use brainwashing.
Yeah. Marketing? Oh my God. Sales? Yes.
Versus Obama, who was composed and...
Well, I can't think of any chants that were chanted at like Obama, actually any president before this.
Well, I can't even like, I mean, I'm trying to think of like Hillary, even like just like during her campaign. I mean, I guess I'm with her, but I don't think it was chanted.
I don't think
it was, like, I don't think it was ever chanting.
Like they usually,
you know,
just
it sure
had it on their
like
shirt,
cheering, but never like a
there was
right.
ever a constant
I agree
chant.
Chanting is
so pay
very
attention
much
to that
thing.
The next time that you are watching one of his speeches. Number
anyone's
two
speech.
Anyone's speech, yeah, anyone where there's a chant. Number two, controlling what you watch and read. This is common to pretty much every cult, even Scientology, whether it's filtering a member's internet access or in the case of like North Korea, literally cutting off all forms of communication with anyone outside of the country. No news sources, no television, no internet, etc. Obviously, the idea behind this is to insulate and isolate the members from any opposing points of view. Now, it's a lot more obvious in cases like the People's Temple led by Jim Jones, who were literally taken to a plot of land in Guyana in South America and not allowed to leave again. Or, again, North Korea with no access to any outside country. But the GOP is currently controlling what you watch and read a little more subtly. For example, when I was at home in Southern Illinois, anytime I saw news on televisions, it was Fox News. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has told his followers that Fox News is the only news source that can be trusted. Fox News's entire network was designed in 1996 to be the media arm of the Republican Party. And as such, the job of Fox News is to report Republican candidates. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Oh, yes.
Fox News viewers tend to be older, conservative, white, and Republican. Given the network's desire to, you know, make money, it's going to faithlessly and relentlessly stand up for Trump. But Fox News packages their programming by supposedly adhering to the concept of being anti-news, anti-establishment, nonpartisan. And so they design their programming to make it seem like they are non-biased, which makes it very easy for people who are Trump supporters to hear him say, CNN is fake news, all other news programs are spreading lies. He quotes Fox News in his tweets and praises them for, quote, getting it right. He's literally telling his followers to watch one news show and no others because the others spread lies, the others are fake news, the others are out to get him. He's filtering his followers to digest only what he's serving them.
Yep.
And it's working really well.
I know. Really well. It sucks how much it's working.
Followers of a political party, any political party, do like to close themselves in the same echo chamber of radio, television, reading material, news outlets, etc. Like Democrats want to read Democratic
yes,
articles.
You're right. And I think that is something that's actually really detrimental to what's going on.
Very.
Because I like, and I'm not praising myself, but I do find myself when I'm reading something that's more of one side, I go, oh, shit, I need to get the other side.
I'm the same
because
way.
Because you have to poll. Because
they're all, everyone's biased.
Right.
The best thing for us to do right now is to read news articles from other countries talking about what's going on here.
The UK shows so much more of the US than the US shows of us.
They're non-biased.
And I only knew that because Ryan, who was on the Ouija board episode.
shout out to Ryan.
He was in the UK, and obviously we talk to his parents all the time. And I mean, he's over there now, and some of the things that he's saying, it's insane to hear that we have not reported it ourselves.
Yeah.
Not to say that they're any better, because when they had the Granville fire, they weren't telling how many casualties there were, how many deaths, and we were. So it's the same for other countries, you know. Like, and it's interesting what you were talking about earlier, just really quickly. The censoring.
Yeah.
There's a television. It's like kind of like almost like a 3 week program where it's a Eurovision, and it's all of the countries in Europe. There's also Australia that's involved, but they do a singing competition between the countries, and the countries all vote. And there's like a lot of politics are involved. Like when England was performing, you know, someone got on stage for a protest. But what's interesting about it is that when Ireland performed, they sang their song, but they had a gay dance number. It was two men dancing, and the song was the love song, and that was the most banned thing. So a lot of countries don't, they were like, where was Ireland? What happened? Why didn't Ireland perform, even though they're getting all these points? What's going
censored?
On? And it's because it was censored. China did not allow them to see it. I don't remember which other ones, but it was blocked in a lot of
so
different places.
Crazy.
But the people didn't know, right? So then at the end, when they tally all the votes, because every country votes for them, there's a popular vote, and they're seeing Ireland get all these votes, and they're going, what?
We didn't even see them,
we didn't even see
them
perform.
And they have no idea why.
That's like not being able to see Sanjaya's performances on American Idol and wondering, who's the Sanjaya character? Do you guys remember Sanjaya?
Oh, God, Sanjaya. Sanjaya. He was from Washington, I think.
Our listeners couldn't see, but I was rolling my eyes so deeply back.
Her glasses almost fell off. She rolled her eyes so hard.
Gosh,
so hard. I knew someone that was over in China, and they were over there for school, and they posted something negative about China on their Facebook status, and the next day when they tried to get on Facebook, their account had been deleted.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I believe that. I can
China.
Believe that.
China.
That's insane.
No, but that's another one he chants. Okay, anyways.
This happens. Everyone wants to read their own...
their own stuff,
beliefs,
their own party.
Yeah. The problem arises when your actual political leader is not only telling you which ones to watch, which ones are good and bad, but also the one they are telling you to watch is biased in their favor.
Right.
That is dangerous. That is scary. That is something Hitler did. So,
well, and also in these cults, it's something they did. No.
Yeah.
But
no.
They're disorienting you.
Oh,
so that
Scientology
you make you feel...
does that all the time. You can't. Scientology restricts their internet use because they don't want their followers to read about
what people are saying about them.
Rumors that are going on in Scientology.
Yeah.
It's
how
all
people see
rumors.
Them on the outside.
Yeah. This is a very big one for Trump and his administration. Aligning you with shame. Shame is a very strong emotion and a great tool for manipulating people. If you think about, we talked about this earlier, high school peer pressure. That's using shame. Everyone is doing it. If you don't do it, you're a loser. No one will like you. If you don't put out, your boyfriend will leave you. Why? Yeah. What are you scared? What are you, a prude? Like, that's all using shame to get you to drink at the party.
Sure.
Have sex before you're ready. Whatever, whatever. Studies have actually been done that show that stimulating the emotional reaction center of your brain, where shame comes from, can completely shut down the analytical part of your brain. The analytical part of your brain, aka the thinking part of your brain. Right,
because you're so ashamed.
Because you're ashamed and you don't think about the consequences. You don't think about, what it means to do the thing you're doing. You just do it.
Yeah.
You just like drink the drink. You just have the sex. You don't think about it.
That's such a controlling thing.
You see this a lot at the beginning of indoctrination into cults. Can you believe that you used to think this way? Can you believe that your family thinks this way? How stupid were you? How stupid are they? And you see this almost daily with the GOP, whether Trump is mocking a disabled person by putting his arm to his chest and saying like, dur, 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 like he did, or laughing at the thought that hairspray and aerosol is destroying our ozone layer and therefore contributing to global warming. How stupid is that? How stupid do you have to be to believe that? Like laughing at that.
Yeah.
And it's literally not stupid. It's a fact.
Yep.
But you can bend the truth. So like, yes, aerosol has now gotten rid of the chemicals that were specifically destroying the ozone layer in the 70s, but they are still bad for the environment. They still contain hydrocarbons and compressed gases that are notorious for their contribution to global warming. But that doesn't matter because our president said it was stupid. And if I don't believe what he's saying, then I'm stupid. So it's stupid and therefore it's not the truth.
You're going to buy it because you don't want to feel stupid.
Exactly. And in addition to this, when you say that he's wrong for doing that, when you say to Trump, like, you're wrong for mocking that person, he tries to turn it on you. You're dumb. That's not what I was doing. I wasn't mocking a disabled person. You saw that. You're the one that's wrong. That's not what I was doing at all. You saw that.
That always turns it.
Or what about Muslim ban? It's not a Muslim ban. You called it a Muslim ban, which is why I said Muslim ban, because you called it that.
Yep.
It's not a Muslim ban. You said it was a Muslim ban.
I mean, you see, Saturday Night Live making fun of that. You see, they saying that too. Like,
I'm just telling you the ways that they are using cult tactics and brainwashing tactics on us today, and it's fucking working. Okay.
Yes.
Number four, another really big one for the GOP, using black and white facts. So like there's no in between. For example, if you think about the wall that Trump wants to build, it's not feasible to build a wall between Mexico and the United States. It doesn't make sense financially. It doesn't make sense literally. Because the wall is not going to stop illegal immigration. That is not feasible.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost a lot of money and it's not going to do anything. Right. Okay. So it doesn't make sense. And when you try and explain that, the response is, oh, so you just want a bunch of drugs and rapists in the country.
No,
that is not what I said at all.
How dare you be so broad?
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing. It's black and white. It's either you want the wall or you want rapists in our country.
Yep, there's no in between.
There's no in between. And that's a tactic that they use. That's a tactic that they use in cults as well to get people like, oh, I don't know if I agree with this whole master-slave thing. Well, then you XYZ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean?
That means you want this instead.
Why are you being so crazy? It's just a metaphor.
Yeah. Right. Why are you being so crazy? I'm gaslighting you.
Yep.
Yeah. So then our response would be like, no, we can rework immigration laws if that's the issue, or strengthen border control. I'm just saying that spending millions of U.S. dollars to build this wall is not an intelligent move once you think about it. And then it's like, oh, so you're okay with Mexicans taking our jobs? It's like, that is not what I said at all. Oh, like that's the thing. It's totally black and
white.
And
again, how freaking broad.
I know. Well, that's
like,
the same.
Does he not even understand like that? Like, yeah, okay. Yep,
yes.
Yep,
no, yeah. No. Yeah. Not political. Here we go. These are just things he's doing. This is another one. This is my personal favorite. I think we need stricter gun regulations. What did they say?
They're taking our guns.
You want to take our guns away.
You want to take our guns. Nope.
Nope.
No one said that.
Absolutely not. No one said that at all.
If you legally have everything, that's fine. But nope, we jumped over that.
Nope, I don't. I want to make it more difficult to get a gun, especially for children and people with history of violence and mental illness. And I want to ban the sale of semi-automatic weapons and take guns that can hold 30 plus rounds of ammunition away from civilians. So you want to take away our Second Amendment.
Or the amount of
guns
they have. Exactly. Let's look at Vegas.
But yeah, and then it always jumps to, oh, you just want to take away the Second Amendment. Nope.
You want to take away our rights.
It's not what I said.
It's not black and white. There are ways that we can, that you can remain, you can have your rights, and we can make our country safer. But that's a tactic that they use. It's black or it's white, and there's no in between.
Yep. So scary.
It's insane. So the black and white thing, that's a huge one. And that's always kind of been actually a big one for the Republican Party. This tactic actually works because this is actually really interesting. It activates your fight or flight. So you love your guns, right? Well, if we make stricter gun laws, you're going to lose your guns. They're going to be taken away from you. You won't be able to protect your family. That black and white thing. The idea behind planting this in your mind is that you will fight without thinking, which is very valuable for cult leaders and fascist leaders. Oh, yeah. Because you fight without actually thinking about what you're fighting for. You're not thinking about, like, what, again, what the consequences are. It's fight or flight, which is an instant.
You're just Facebooking in your...
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, this one is also very big in cults and in our current political situation, us versus them. Mm-hmm. So us versus them is extremely effective and extremely dangerous. The reason being, participants of the group you are in are more willing and determined to see their group win rather than have outcomes where all people end up better overall. So it causes us to act irrationally and uncooperative because we are more concerned about conforming with our group and coming out victorious instead of thinking intelligently for ourselves or recognizing other people's interests and values outside of our group.
Rajneeshi Puram. As soon as they got the guns, it started.
That was it.
That was it.
That's very true.
And they did not think about anyone else but themselves. And I'm not saying that's how they were to begin with, but as soon as they got the guns because of that,
as soon as it became us versus them, that was it.
And Sheila, she made sure that that's how they felt.
Yes. A big example of this was Trump's health bill. So they all they wanted was to dismantle Obamacare. That's all they wanted. Yeah. Obamacare, in their eyes, is a failure on the part of the GOP. It's a loss. Now, Obamacare, here's the thing. Obamacare has a ton of fucking problems. I was on Obamacare. It has a ton of problems. But it helps more people than it hurts. But instead of trying to address the problems and make it a better system, they want to tear it down. It's got Obama's name on it. It's got his stamp on it. So it needs to die. So they're willing to replace the bill without even having something to replace it with.
Yeah,
that was the most absurd thing when that
came
out.
Away.
Let's just get rid of it, but not have another answer.
Healthcare away. Without having anything to replace it with. I mean, you remember the fucking health bill that they tried to pass. There was like handwritten notes in the margins and shit. Like it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
It wasn't ready. It wasn't ready at all.
There's no universe in which you can place something like that in front of the Senate and try and have that. No.
Well, I didn't think there was a universe where presidential policies would be announced on Twitter.
Well, yes, also that. So it doesn't matter. So Trump's bill is a win. Obamacare is a loss. So you go for the win, right?
Sure.
In that group. Without thinking about how it can affect millions of Americans and even yourself. Most of these people are on the Affordable Care Act, which they don't even realize is
Obamacare.
Which it's not called Obamacare. Obama didn't say this is Obamacare. Right. This
is the Affordable Care Act.
They call the GOP is what started calling it. The Republican Party started calling it Obamacare to put a negative connotation. Yep.
They were trying Trigger to slam word. This thing.
Yeah. So also, if you look at the terminology that's being used, snowflake. Mm-hmm. Anytime you say, I don't agree with XYZ, snowflake. I think we need stricter gun laws. Snowflake. Even if you are a Republican and a Trump supporter, if you get online right now and say, hey, guns, maybe, I don't know, maybe we're wrong about Trump. Maybe we're wrong about gun control. Maybe he doesn't have our interests in mind when he's making decisions. What are you, a snowflake? You are immediately ostracized. Mm-hmm. No matter like what your background is, if you look at, this happens in cults all the time. You question the leader. You question the ideals of the group. You are no longer a part of the group. You are now them and they are the enemy. They are the threat. So in a lot of cases, you are no longer part of the group and you can't even speak to someone who is a part of the group. You can't talk to your own family. And in cases like Scientology and the current GOP, you are also ridiculed and attacked. If you look at people who left the Church of Scientology, some of them were accused of being pedophiles.
Right.
They
Oppressive
were accused.
Person, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They all kinds of shit was
people are trying
to
destroy their lives
on them.
When
yes.
they left. Yeah.
When they left. anything to soil their name, separate them from the group, anything to make them them. Now, if you look at the GOP, what happens when Trump's allies disagree with him? He openly mocked John McCain. He claimed that he wasn't a real war hero because he was captured during the Vietnam War. And he said, I quote, I only like winners. Why is he mocking him? The only reason is because he opposed the Obamacare repeal legislation. The only reason he opposed it is because we didn't have anything to replace it with.
Right.
He was
black and white, Ashley.
He was making the smart move.
He was against it.
But
black and white.
He didn't support Obamacare. John McCain has come out and said, like, I don't support this bill. I don't support the Affordable Care Act.
Right, but it's what you're saying.
He's
but
not
he wants something else
it
in
because
place.
We have to have something
right,
to replace it.
But it's what you're saying.
But
it was not black and white for him,
in
but
Trump's
it was
eyes,
for everyone else.
It's us versus them.
Yep.
So you went against us. You are now them.
Yep.
That was a loss for us. And now McCain is them. And now what's happening? Other Republicans are making jokes about John McCain dying. Did you see that?
No.
On television in an interview, a Trump aide is making jokes about John McCain has terminal brain cancer. John McCain right. is dying. John McCain's old as fucking shit. But John McCain is also an American war hero.
Yeah.
He's a lifetime Republican. He spent a better half of the last four fucking decades in public service as a House member. He's a senator, a two-time Republican presidential candidate. But because he isn't afraid to disagree with his base on some things, you
enemy.
Make jokes about his terminal brain cancer.
I think
it's
he was. I commended
disgusting.
Him so much for saying that the people that are out there like talking and making action happen are far left and far right. He's like, if you're in the middle, you should be speaking up and you should be saying something because you're doing nothing clearly
right.
because it's only the left. And if you're doing nothing, then you don't have the right to complain about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with that. I think that he's saying, guys, it's really divided. Let's right. not be so divided. And what does he get? He gets made fun of.
He says so many logical things that make sense. And he's not saying anything negative to the Republican Party.
He's
just like, hey,
Republican.
Can we look at things this way? And he's criticized and made the enemy when that is not what he set out to do.
That's the worst. But yeah, like you said earlier, I don't even know what category that fits into, calling immigrants animals. But of course he didn't. He called MS-13 animals. But the thing is that's what happened too in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, with Hitler.
They didn't start out immediately saying, like, all Jews are bad. They started out saying, these Jews, these ones are bad. You're not all bad. These ones are bad. And then what happened was, then they started saying, well, I think all Jews are like that because it's just in their nature.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's doing now, you know, Mexicans aren't bad. These Mexicans are animals.
That's how it starts.
These Mexicans are bad. He's already called illegal immigrants rapists,
mm-hmm.
drug dealers. So like that is part
it
of the brainwashing. If you read that thing that came out today, like why are the MS-13 animals or something like that, did you see that article?
I didn't see it, but what
200 word, it's a 200 word essay posted on whitehouse.gov entitled Why MS-13 Are Animals.
I can't.
200 word essay, the word animal is state, I think it's 18 times in 200 words. That is
trigger
the beginning
word,
yeah. of something very, very scary.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already in the beginning of...
Oh, we've passed,
scary, the beginning.
But
we're
yeah.
past that line,
scarier.
But yeah, just to hear that would be on whitehouse.gov.
It sucks. I mean, I don't think that any of us are disillusioned into thinking that everything's peachy, but it does suck to... have so much faith in something like when I was younger and then to like actually educate myself and realize, holy shit, yeah. this stuff does happen and you do need to pay attention. And one of the ways of paying attention is learning about brainwashing though.
Right.
You know what
Being
I mean?
Able
like
to
learning
be aware.
About it. That doesn't
if
mean that we're immune, but like.
Right. But if you can identify why are they having us chant through this speech?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's because they don't want us to listen. Maybe I'll stop chanting and
yeah.
actually listen to what's right. being said. Or if you can identify the fact that, you know, the acting president of the United States is telling you what news programs to listen to, maybe
Maybe watch both.
Maybe watch both. I'm not saying you have to watch CNN, you know, the filthy CNN liars or whatever, but like maybe don't just watch Fox News.
Right. Try to watch something else. Just try to see both sides even a little.
I would say the same thing. If Hillary was in office and she was saying, like, don't listen to Fox News, watch CNN, I'd be like, what's Fox News saying then?
I know.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't need to go over and watch that. Yeah. Then I'll only watch CNN.
Anything I mean, you say, Hillary, no one would want to do that either. You need to question anyone who is forcing something.
I really
on
like
you.
The quote from like my favorite book of all time, and I'm going to fuck up the quote, but my favorite book of all time is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the quote is essentially that like any person who is the kind of person who can get themselves to be elected president is not someone who deserves to be a leader of a country. Mm. Like anyone who has the ability to.
Well, there shouldn't be one person in charge of this giant place at all. And there should be
not a job.
And there should also
not be.
I mean,
be Queen Ashley.
Like I was over in the UK during their political, you know, during
Brexit.
Actually, right before, like, I did get to experience a little bit of Brexit too, but they have so many political parties representing the people, and we have three? I mean, we have two
ones.
Far larger, and our population is a lot higher.
The fact that it comes down to us having to choose between two pieces of shit every year.
Like, what happened in 1776 to get us to here?
I know.
Queen, we want you back. We're already infiltrating
you
with your princess.
Our father screwed us.
So we're getting a little off track. So closing thoughts. My closing thoughts for this, for anyone, think for yourself, whether this pertains to your friend group, your family, your church, your cult, your political party, whatever. No one thinks like you do. And if we let someone influence the way that you think and feel, then the world suffers. Like, everyone should be able to think with their own brain. Do not let other people influence you. And don't be afraid to disagree with people in your life. If they ostracize you, criticize you, or attack you, they are not people you should have in your life. If they accept you and converse with you and attempt to understand you, those are good people. So notice that the people yelling in a political or religious argument, they are probably the people who don't know what they are fighting about. So listen to the people who are having a dialogue and join in the dialogue. If someone is shouting something at you, if someone is shutting you down by calling you a snowflake, don't listen to what that person is saying, because that person does not know what they are arguing for.
Right.
They just know that they're arguing to win.
They're just trying to win the fight.
If they try and shut you down with something,
right,
all they care about is winning.
Yeah. Yep. I say a big thing too is I think there are a lot of people out there.
Many.
A lot of people out there think that they already are woke. I think that people should just not. I think you should not shut yourself off to education, even
ever.
if there's something out there that you think that you know about. I guarantee you don't know everything there is to it, and that's me included. And I just like that is
I do think that's good. You should never stop learning. Just keep educating yourself on every topic
Absolutely.
That you can, and try to learn the most for yourself. Like Ashley said, form your own opinions, form your own thoughts. Don't be afraid to debate them, because you are you and you should be thinking independently, not under someone's force.
Yeah, ever. And that's the thing. That is how we get down to the point where we are now, where you have to choose between two people every 4 years.
Yep.
Because there's not enough people thinking independent thoughts and thinking of different ways that we can do things.
Right.
It's either we have abortion or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We have guns or we don't. It's that
black and white
thing. Like, there's so many gray scales.
I know.
While we've been having these profound thoughts, your cat has gone around and licked the wall. She's licked this side
She's
of like a leg now. She's literally just licking things.
To destroy our life for the last 30 minutes.
Literally,
she's been knocking over cans.
The entire time that I've been talking, she's just been like
ruining
stepping
everything.
On shit and like trying to like type
knocked
on the
over
computer.
A LaCroix.
She knocked over. Anyways, we'll wrap it up to get out of this nonsense. That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to our patrons who donate to our show at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. You can donate as little as $1 to our show to help us achieve our weird dreams, and you get cool stuff in return. So head over and check it out. And of course, thank you so much to Tyler for joining us again.
I love you, Tyler.
Thank you for having me.
Always such a wonderful and funny and pleasurable, infuriating,
I taught so many new words tonight.
You did.
Yeah.
Screw nail for life.
Hashtag screw nail.
Maybe that should be the name of this episode.
Screw nail. Screw nail. What's a screw nail?
Cults part two. Yes. Screw nail.
Thank you for coming on again. Is there anything you want to plug this time around?
One of the reasons why I got so heavily involved in cult research is because of for the past like year and a half, myself and two other people have been writing a show, and we finally got to film it, and we're gonna be like sending it around, pitching it out, all of that
stuff.
And
I've seen tiny clips of it, and it looks so good.
I think it's gonna be really good. I can't say the title just yet, but I'll be keeping you guys updated on that. One of the writers actually is Jordan Van Cleef, and she has a show out right now called hashtag Tooth Fairies.
Oh, I watched a little bit of that.
Yeah, you can see it on YouTube where they have
actually really funny.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like it's kind of like The Office style. Yeah, it's really funny. I really love it. You can find that on YouTube, or you can find it at hashtag toothfairies.com.
Yeah, cool.
I did a little guest spot.
You've appeared. I was going to say,
yeah, I was a Thanksgiving turkey.
You do look like a turkey.
I really try.
Tyler.
Yeah. Typecasting.
So this is part two of our cults series. We're going to have a part three, a part four, a part five. I believe we're going to be doing a cult episode on when cults go bad, cults that murder and do horrible crimes.
I'm excited about that one because I went down a rabbit hole.
Exactly. We're going to have an episode on deprogramming.
Yes, the
how to get out of a cult, how to dismantle a cult. And we're also going to have an episode on sneaky cults.
Oh, yes.
Cults today or back in the day that disguise themselves as something else. Mm. Scientology. And and many more. So keep looking out for these cult episodes. They're a lot of fun. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Keep It Weird Cast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It's the easiest and it helps us out more than it should. Tyler, what's our sign off this week?
Screw nail. I don't know how to do a sign off. What do I do again?
You literally say anything.
This is your third time coming on the show.
You just like
what's a
sign
quote
off like? Or a song,
or like a tagline.
Like if you had sang a song about screw nail, we would have enjoyed it.
I know, but you're the Diddy queen.
Very right. True. I'm gonna start calling you L Diddy, like P it. Diddy, okay, but L like Diddy.
I get you. I was there.
She was there.
L Diddy, y'all.
That is terrible.
L Diddy in the house.
Don't ignore the point, Tyler.
I am ignoring it completely because I have no idea what to say.
You had so long to prepare for this.
I did have so long to prepare for this. And
from
now
episode
I
17
I
to episode 50.
I have no idea. You know what? I just really want you guys to love yourself, because if you can't love yourself, then how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen?
Hey,
amen.
Hey.
Thank you, so RuPaul.
You're welcome.
And keep it weird.
And keep it weird.
Keep it so weird.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Huh?